are listening to Dovetails with Deborah, a show about encouragement as we empower you with tales and testimonies of many who share what has happened to them as the Holy Spirit rests on them like a dove.
Well, I absolutely love that intro. I love the music to Dovetails. It just lets me know we are on, we are live. I thank you so much for tuning in this afternoon, and welcome back to a brand new episode of Dovetails. Praise God, because the old has gone and the new has come. This is the year of new beginnings, a year of hope and restoration, replenishment, and being refreshed. We have a wonderful lineup of guests for you, ladies and gentlemen, people to learn from. But make no mistake, for these guests are courageous as they share the most intimate details of their lives. How grateful I am, because each weekend I continue to learn and be amazed at what God is capable of when humanity welcomes Him into their lives. Oh, what the Lord can do with a willing heart is simply remarkable. So if you have never encountered or heard about Jesus Christ before, consider hanging out with us this sweet Sunday afternoon as we unpack the journey of my extraordinary guests in order to discover the truth together. And if it's your first time tuning in to Dovetails, I am your host, Deborah, founder of DCL Ministries, a ministry birthed from my pain, my tears, my divorce, and my healing when I surrender to God's process. There is a misconception lingering in the air out there that it's time. Time is the thing that heals all wounds. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you today, time doesn't heal anything. Time only tells. But it is only God who heals. It's only God who covers and loves mankind unconditionally. DCL Ministries is about allowing the God-breathed word to thoroughly equip mankind for every good work. So if you want to join the movement, log on to www.dclministries.com to receive the newsletter, become a guest, read the thought-provoking articles, Sunday devotionals, and learn all about the featured ministries on our very own Writer's Corner. And I'm really excited. Beginning June of this year, we will be doing a six-month series on divorce and separation with a wonderful woman of God, Rachel Kidder. She is a divorce care leader, and we're just excited to have her. We're excited to peel back some of these layers and some of the troubles that we have with just, you know, dealing with the dust that often doesn't even settle after a divorce. So definitely tune into us starting June. And if you are looking for a wonderful read, check out my newly released book titled The Women God Used. So if you allow me to linger just a little bit longer, I'm going to read an excerpt from it. Women are such fascinating creatures. And if you don't believe me, have a disagreement with one of them and then let me know how you make out. Yes, I agree. We can be difficult, emotional, argumentative, assertive, bossy, dominating, but to our credit, we are also cute, cuddly, adorable, submissive, beautiful, compassionate, nurturing, and hardworking. I guess in the end, to save time, we are as a species complicated. But please tell me, who isn't? The women God used are rarely seen baking apple pie or reading a story to their children before bed. No. The women God used were clever, unconventional, strong-minded, and strategic. Today, these women would be the type, they would be the ones that you would pick or not pick on your board of advisors, but not the kind you want to meet in a dark alley after hours. These women are strong enough to drag you to the finish line, but the first to leave you if you are not pulling your weight. Yes, God handpicked complex and complicated women whose stories are not glamorous, with some of their methods being less than desirable. But they created new streams in the very dirty wasteland of sin. These women, these biblical women, forged a dynasty in biblical history and now grace the pages of the greatest story ever told to prove it. If you were not aware, these are the women God used, And this book is for all the women that have had to adjust to life, the women that had to grow into their shells and become leaders, risk takers, rebels, parents to unruly children, widows, single mothers, prostitutes, entrepreneurs, and anything else to survive in this world corroded with sin. This book will allow its readers to see a snapshot of women that didn't take no for an answer when the pitfalls of life tried to bury them into the ground. These women triumphed beyond comprehension and, despite sin crouching at their door, chose unconventional ways and made it anyway. Therefore, God didn't waste our time with highlighting women in the Word that were content with church as usual. No, these were women who cried for a night and, due to time constraints, had to wake up and press on toward the goal to reach the finish line. Horrible, you say? I think not. For some of them might have been annoying, but they were also anointed. And many women in the Bible are complicated, but they were also called. And many might have appeared scandalous, and yet God could trust them with trouble. This book will walk its readers through the lives of unique women that were called into a ministry, a position in history that no believer or non-believer can ignore or ever forget. I challenge the position that these women were out of place or horrible. On the contrary, they were the Sigourney Weavers of their time, the G.I. Janes of the Bible, and the movers and shakers in their hometown. These women feared the Lord and, through his guidance, changed the hands of time and biblical history. These complicated women, smothered in their own issues and problems and struggles, rose up despite the adversity, double-edged sword in one hand and the issues of their families in the other. These women paved way for all who would dare to follow in their tumultuous footsteps, with a disclaimer in bold letters reading, "Buckle up your baby, because we are all in for a bumpy ride." Oh, yes, you are correct in thinking that these women were unconventional, but sin entering the world changed everything. So don't judge how these women made it through, for they are survivors, just like you and just like me. These Bible warriors screamed out to anyone that would listen, "I am woman. Now hear me roar." Therefore, it's time to pay some respect to the women God used. The women God used is about humanity learning to let go of what they thought was going to happen and what they wanted when striving to take hold of a God-centered lifestyle in union with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That is why Dovetails is so very excited to have Tiffany Lene on our program today. Tiffany Lene, born on the south side of Chicago and the fifth of nine children who all possessed musical gifts. As the daughter of a pastor, Tiffany enjoyed singing at church and school and even started an a cappella gospel group at her high school called Africa Ensemble. Tiffany relocated to Washington, D.C. to attend Howard University, where she continued her love of singing through many choirs and local gospel groups, including the New Bethel COGIC Choirs, Urban Nation, and the Howard University Community Choir. A major turning point in her life occurred when she made a courageous decision to leave an abusive marriage in 2012. With this newfound freedom, Tiffany began to rebuild her natural life piece by piece, while simultaneously immersing herself into her God-given calling and passion, music ministry. Last year in June, she felt an overwhelming burden to reach the lost and win souls for Christ. As a result, she founded The Village, an evangelistic and missions-driven music ministry that serves as a bridge between the unchurched and the local church to reach souls through music. Oh, her passion for encouraging and empowering women has afforded her the opportunity to share her testimony through song. So sit back as I unpack the tenacious and resilient woman of God, Tiffany Lene. We'll be right back.
Don't go away. Stay tuned for more Dovetails with Deborah right after this.
This is Carla Cook, daughter of the legendary Sam Cook, on tour now with wondrous stories, the life and music of my father, Sam Cook. You can find me at CarlaCook.com. Remember, that's Cook with an E. And follow my Facebook page at The Carla Cook. And I'm on Twitter and Instagram at The Carla Cook. I hope to see you soon on stage in a city near you.
This is Catherine Views, author and founder of Defend the Faith Ministry, and you're listening to Dovetails with Deborah right here on PJC Media.
Hi, friends. I'm Dr. Mike Spaulding, inviting you to listen to great Bible teaching on the Transforming Word radio show and podcast. All shows are available on iTunes and Stitcher. Search for the Transforming Word and subscribe for notification of new shows. You may also listen to every episode from my website, www.thetransformingword.com. In addition to the Transforming Word, I want to make you aware of my interview, news, and opinion show, Soaring Eagle Radio. If you're interested in engaging conversations related to a variety of topics not covered by typical news media, then check out Soaring Eagle Radio. You may subscribe to the show on iTunes and Stitcher, and you may listen to every episode on my website, www.soaringeagleradio.com. For more information on my ministries, please email me, pastormike@cclohio.com. Again, that's pastormike@cclohio.com. Thank you for listening to these shows, and please leave me a note when you do. God bless you today.
We're back, and you're tuned in to Dovetails with Deborah right here on WPJC 104.5.
Oh, and we are back, and we have a great show for you this Sunday afternoon. Tiffany Lene, Howard University graduate, pastor's daughter, founder of The Village and servant of God, is here with us to share her dovetail, meaning her testimony, with us. Her story takes flight when she decided to leave an abusive marriage and rebuild her life. So please, please, please help me welcome to the show the lovely and tenacious Tiffany Lene. Welcome to the show, Tiffany.
Oh, thank you for having me, Deborah. I'm so honored.
No, oh, we're honored to have you, sweet pea. No, it's we're gonna giggle a lot today. That's what I'm feeling. It's just giggly,
yeah.
And feeling good.
Yeah,
so Lord,
definitely.
we're gonna have fun.
Yes.
So Tiffany, here on Dovetails, I love starting at the beginning, and you and I, we've talked a little bit about that, especially with social media today. We live in a society, we live in a world where we're told to put our best foot forward. We're told to, you know, dress it up, you know, kind of put a mask on. It's like, I feel like we're conditioned to do that. And, but the beauty about God is he wants us to take off the mask. And he wants us to, you know, while we are serving him, while we are on the road of our own sanctification, our own process, that this is the gorgeousness I think people need to see. They need to see the good with the bad. They need to see the tears and the triumph. There's a movie that I saw called Vanilla Sky, and I always talk about this movie on the show because the movie was okay, but there was a line in the movie that just tugged at my own heart, and the line was, "The sweet isn't as sweet without the bitter." And I feel like, you know what? That's true. So with that being said, we're gonna take it from the beginning. And my first question to you is, did you grow up in a home which acknowledged Jesus Christ?
Yes, I did grow up in a home that acknowledged Jesus Christ. I'm a PK, so preacher's kid. And preacher's kids are notorious, and there's lots of stereotypes that that preacher's kids have. And I would say that I did feel some of those stereotypes. My dad was a deacon, though, for several years before he became a minister. He became a minister probably when I was around 12 years old or so. But even still, from the time, you know, as early as I could remember, you know, a very strict, rigid Pentecostal household in on the south side of Chicago. You know, I couldn't wear pants. We could only listen to gospel music. We could only go to school, church, and work. So very, very rigid. So, yes, we knew God, but we knew more religion, it seemed, than actual relationship for me at that time.
Oh, my goodness. Right out the box, you gave us many, many nuggets. I hope everyone listening, you have your pad, you have your paper. no, I need to highlight some of the things that you've said because I think there's many out there that are listening. I love you said we knew God, but we knew more religion than relationship. Oh, my goodness. That is for someone out there. Right?
We did. And my parents, they meant well, right? They wanted to, you know, raise us in the fear and the admonition of God. But, you know, the way we were indoctrinated, it was more of it was a fear of God, but it was not of reverence. It was more of being afraid of him, literally, being afraid to die and go to hell. So, you know, we would see movies that, highlighted people going to hell for certain sins and, you know, things like that. But, you know, there was always this fear that, you know, we don't do this, if we don't cross this I or if we don't dot this I or we don't cross this T, we're going to go to hell. If we wear lipstick, we're going to hell. If we wear pants, we're going to hell. Just in unfortunately, a gross indoctrination and just more emphasis on doctrine than relationship with God. And it overshadowed my entire childhood because all I thought was, wow, I have to do everything right. I have to keep up appearances because appearances are more important than anything else. As long as I look the part, then it's okay. So it speaks to that mask. But for me, it was a whole costume. It wasn't just a mask. It was a costume. It was covering up everything and in an effort to appear holy, to appear righteous. And that was my childhood, and behind that costume was just a broken girl who had low self-esteem, who just really wanted love and affection, and wanted, she really desired a relationship with God, but she just felt so overwhelmed by doctrine that she didn't know how to really go about it. So, that was my childhood up until, you know, my high school years. And then after graduating high school, I relocated from Chicago to the D.C. area to attend college.
I feel so proud of you. I keep saying that, and I know I'm not your mother. But I'm really, you know, really just a friend in admiration of your transparency. Tiffany, I love that you are saying some of the things that I know I've thought, I know I relate to. My question to many of you out there is, how were you introduced to God? You know, a lot of times, we are a product, we are an offspring, whether that's spiritually or naturally, we're an offspring of what we've learned. And for many of you out there, God is looking to revamp your definition. Maybe you were told of the God of wrath and you never heard about the God of love. Maybe you were doused with the God of love and you're like, I don't believe in hell because a God that loves, he would never. I mean, what we need to realize, and I hope that you're hearing at the beginning of Tiffany's testimony, is, you know, you don't want to put religion above relationship. God is a relational God. And one thing that I do want to those of you out there that love to evangelize, if you look into the word, we really do see Matthew, Peter, Paul, we see Naomi, we see Ruth, we see all these gorgeous people that evangelized differently. You just have to find your style and you have to just find how you can turn the macro gospel into the micro gospel and put them both together. But Tiffany's really highlighting some gorgeous things, and she really hit home when she said, I really wanted to be loved, and I really wanted affection, but it was the costume It was the appearances that I had to, that I felt like I needed to do. It had to look right. Many of you out there, you're wanting it to look right. You think if you're wearing pants or if you're wearing a skirt, you're closer to God. If you don't have long earrings on, you're somehow closer to God. Make no mistake, uh-huh. Mother Teresa is no closer to God than you are. We uh-huh. all rebel against the Lord in our own way. And that God is looking at us individually. So keep yeah. that in mind. Keep that in mind. Tiffany, my next question to you, just, you know, kind of how do you think your family and your friends would describe you when you were a young girl?
When I was a young girl, they would describe me as quiet, smart, shy, but compassionate and loving and loyal.
Mm. I love that. I love that. I ask these questions because to the listeners, we have to get to know your mindset, you know, and right now it is peppered with what you've been learning. But, you know, sometimes we have to look back before we can go forward, and it just gives, it makes us feel closer to you. So it's very interesting to see what you think or how you think others would see you. And how that plays a role even within your own testimony. Tiffany, as a pastor's daughter with 8 other siblings, all possessing musical gifts, I love this. I mean, I completely relate to you. I'm the youngest of 6 children, and yes, and you know what? We actually grew up in a family too where you couldn't. My mother never wore pants. I remember the first time she came down the step in pants. I was like, oh my gosh, mommy has pants, you know. And so yeah. that strict sort of upbringing. But you growing up in this family that possesses all these gifts, how did you know for yourself, and not just because someone told you that you had gifts, that they were actually real to you and not just a way that people sometimes, because they want you to feel included when you're in a large family, oh, you have gifts, yeah. Tiffany, but they don't really recognize yeah. the gift. It's just, oh, you got gift, girl, you got gifts. So talk yeah. to us about how did you know that you really did have a gift? How did it make you feel when you recognized that amongst this gifted family?
Yeah, I love this. I love this question because I wasn't considered the singer of the family. It was my sister above me. She was the songbird and I was the quote unquote smart one. So I was supposed to go on and get all these advanced degrees and become a pediatrician and all of that. So the music was really just supposed to be quote unquote a hobby or something fun for me to do. So, you know, growing up in a family that, you know, has all these musical gifts, I wasn't the one that was highlighted. It was my older sister. So, even though I started the group, at my high school, it was just for fun. It wasn't like, at that time, I didn't know it was my calling. I was just wanting to do it because I loved it. I loved singing. I loved harmonizing. I loved singing with a group. But I had no idea that that was my calling. Not at that time. It wouldn't be until very later on that I would find out, you know, really have this conversation with God, and he would reveal to me that, yes, my calling. So it wasn't in, you know, it wasn't growing up. Although, you know, gifts were nurtured in its own way, you know, it wasn't, I was never, like, deterred from, you know, doing music, but just for me, it was only supposed to be a hobby. I was supposed to just excel in school and, you know, go on and become a pediatrician. That was my job.
Wow. That was your role in the family.
That was my role.
It's so crazy. Gosh, you know, I so relate to that because again, I come from a large family, so I understand you know, how parents can look and say, "You know what? That's not yours. Stay in your own lane." That you know, you're not the singer, Sweet Pea. You know, you sound cute, but you know, it's like your older sister, you know, you can make her mark in the world. And for anyone out there that you're listening, maybe you're from family, a large family. And you know, I have to say parents do mean well. But when God is, go ahead, I'm listening.
Yeah, I was just echoing what you were saying. They, you know, my parents absolutely meant well. You know, they certainly had the best intentions, but they didn't know. They didn't know that was my calling. They just thought it was just something, you know, more of a hobby for me than for, you know, my older sister. So.
Yeah, and I'm sure your older sister can sing extraordinarily well. You know, and I think for anyone out there listening, you know, many people, when you have either, even if you're a single child in your family, God has completely put gifts inside of you. And I think that goes back to what Tiffany is talking about, why it has to be a personal relationship, why we really have to focus on that relationship with the Lord when He is pouring things into us about us. So keep that in mind for someone out there that you're listening, and perhaps, you know, you're maybe being told, you know what, this is not really for you. You need to steer another way. Just be encouraged that if you continue to put your trust in the Lord, He will reveal to you who you are, and He'll give you that sensitivity to be able to discern it and recognize it and feel good about it. Tiffany, I love that you talked about high school, because I want you to talk to us about this a cappella group. First of all, can you explain to us what a cappella means?
A cappella is singing without music. So if you are familiar with the show Glee, or I think there's a it's along those lines. So in high school, I loved singing, but I really loved harmonizing. So I wanted to, you know, really be able to, the soprano, alto, tenor, actually four-part harmony. So so I started my own group. And Africa, we had a African-American cultural group at our school called Africa, and it stood for all free races involved completely in African-American affairs. So from that group, we started the Africa Ensemble, and we were responsible for providing the music for any special events that were sponsored by that group.
It's amazing to me what young people are doing, and the ideas that, you know, schools are coming up with to really celebrate uniqueness, right?
Yeah, and I believe that the group is still in existence to this day. It's been quite some time ago, so I'm just honored that, you know, I had the opportunity to you know, sow a seed in that way. I just got all the friends I knew that could sing. I said, hey, let's sing. And so I would pick out these songs, and I would teach the parts. And actually, you know, let me just – I actually held auditions, you know, even before it was American Idol. Yeah, I did. I held auditions. And I had some of the comical ones that you would usually see on them. Yeah, I had some of those come through. So I guess we were kind of ahead of our time.
If anyone from American Idol is listening, I want you to know that you did not discover this first. I don't know who you think you are.
Yeah, that concept, it wasn't original. I had a panel. I had a panel with like three or four of us judging, and there would be the singers coming in and auditioning, and some of them just really,
I know you have to pray for them, right?
Yeah,
pray
I was
for
like,
them.
Oh, Lord. But then we found some good people. Yeah, we found good people. And so we had about six or seven people in the group, and then we would rehearse on Saturday mornings and to prepare for, we would have Black History Assemblies. So we will prepare for those, and the harmonies that we had even at that age, I was just like, wow, just grateful to be around such talented people. And so we performed every year for, you know, the 4 years of high school, and after that, I went away to college, but to my knowledge, the group is still up in existence now.
Oh, I love that. I love that. And, you know, it's like fragments of your past and, you know, just sort of building this understanding of who you are and things that make you happy. And for anyone out there listening, you know, harmony is hard enough to detect when someone is even singing. Let's just say you're listening to someone with three-part harmony or four-part harmony. But to do it a cappella, those of you singers out there, you know how hard that is, and that everybody has to know what they're doing within their part. The reason why I wanted to sort of highlight that because the Godhead is really a gorgeous three-part harmony. The Father mm-hmm. and the Son and the Holy Spirit,
yeah.
how they interact with one another. There's somebody singing the melodic line, someone singing the tenor
yeah.
line, and someone singing the alto line, and it's how they really impact one another, but how they really make each other look even better. But together
yeah.
they form
together.
The harmony. Together they form what you hear. So keep that
yeah.
in mind as you're listening to Tiffany's testimony. Keep that gorgeousness in mind, the roles and the relationship of the Godhead together,
mm-hmm.
creating that for you.
Mm-hmm.
Tiffany, I want to talk about the struggle when you were a young lady in high school, because there's many people listening that are struggling, whether they're in high school or even an adult, they're just trying to figure out where they belong, who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to talk about maybe the lack of self-confidence or yes, you know, you are orchestrating this group and it sounds really good, but what about the fears and the struggles and the inadequacy? And, you know, how does that play a role when you're trying to discover who you are?
Oh my God. Yeah. As a young lady in high school, I was almost crippled with low self-esteem. I didn't really know who I was at all. You know, it was just really hard. Those years, even though, you know, I can think back fondly on those years and, you know, the a cappella group, those years were very hard for me because I felt kind of ostracized because I was the girl that came to school with skirts all the time and, you know, and it's winter time in Chicago, but I'm the one that has the skirt on anyway. So it's what I felt like a spectacle and, you know, I just had really low self-esteem. I felt like, and I always wanted to be accepted. I always wanted to be popular, but I knew I wasn't going to be the popular girl because I was the girl who wore skirts. So, you know, I was the eyeball, so you can't be popular and be the eyeball, too. So at any rate, I struggled with self-esteem. I struggled with just feeling depressed, just wondering why, you know, I had to endure the things that I had to endure, to be in a family where, you know, I'm essentially not able to really live, I felt. Like, you know, all I could do was go to church and go to school, and if I had a job, I could do that, but I couldn't really do anything else. I really couldn't express myself the way I wanted to, but then I just had these really low feelings about myself. I had very little confidence at all. So it was tough navigating those years. I can remember going to school and just crying and weeping because I just felt so out of place. I felt so uncomfortable with who I was and just unsure about who I was. And those feelings just really would paralyze me at times. So the a cappella group was like the light in the tunnel, if you will, because it gave me an outlet, even though I felt so insecure and inadequate in high school. I still had something to hope for and something that gave me joy. So, navigating those years was pretty tough. You know, I had just a low sense of who I was, and I was self-conscious about how I looked. you know, I dealt with acne and, you know, how that can be as a high schooler. So, you know, I just dealt with really significant self-esteem issues, you know, even though, and I would get attention from, I would get attention from guys because I was wearing skirts. And they didn't see me as holy. They saw me as promiscuous because who wears skirts all the time? Yeah. So, and especially in the wintertime. So I was viewed as promiscuous, even though that was not even who I was. But because my parents were thinking that they were protecting me and, you know, having me wear skirts all the time and being indoctrinated, it was actually made me more of a target than anything else.
Oh, I just, you know, what you struggled with in your childhood, I know so many people can relate to this, Tiffany. Many of you out there, if you're just tuning in, if we go back and just sort of hear the things that had happened in her upbringing, how her father, well, she's a preacher, it's PK, and of course having these parents that really instilled the gospel into their children's lives. I want you to see, and I hope that you see in this testimony, because as an individual, you live your life. You don't really see how God has already equipped you. And even though in our lives we might be insecure and we might have low self-esteem, I hope that you can hear already, God knows this about us because he created us. Just as God, if any of you out there remember Samson in the Bible, God knew he was going to marry that Philistine woman. He knew it. So what God did, he went back and he said, I need to make this man a Nazirite from birth. I need to do that. I need to make sure Tiffany has parents that are dousing her with the gospel because she's going to need it down the road. And so I want you to see that it's the gorgeousness. God has already placed in your path what he is going to do and how he's going to pour those things inside of you. And it's up to us to make sure that, oh, you know what? Wait a minute. I think I see what God's doing here. I think I might understand this. So I just wanted to say that before we go into a small commercial break. We are interviewing Tiffany Lene, founder of The Village, an evangelistic as well as a missions-driven music ministry that bridges together. I love that word, bridge. Bridges together the unchurched, the lost, and the found in order to win souls for Christ. And when we come back, what we're going to talk about is Howard University and how a crippled and low self-esteem woman named Tiffany finds her mate. We'll be right back.
Don't go away. Stay tuned for more Dovetails with Deborah right after this.
What's up, y'all? This is your bro, Robbie Newborn, Christian rap evangelist, ministry leader, and founder of GDT Walking Out Ministries, a drug awareness, peer mentoring, and counseling ministry that spreads a message of hope to the hopeless, bringing the gospel to the street. I am a recovery specialist, intervention, drug prevention professional. So if you're looking for a counselor or counseling or someone to just talk to, please call me at 484-525-9832. My website is www.rdsjr.com. God bless you all from all of us at GDT, Walking Out Ministries, and Team God. Peace and Christ love. Come on.
Hi, this is Chef Yari from YariCooks.com, and you're listening to Dovetails with my favorite host, Deborah, on PJC Media.
Jesus said, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you received, freely give. Listen to our internet radio station at touchofgodradio.org, where you will find out your true identity in Christ. You can use the light that is within you to replace the darkness in this world. Go into all the world today with touchofgodradio.org.
We're back, and you're tuned in to Dovetails with Deborah right here on WPJC 104.5.
We are back. I'm so excited. We have this wonderful, wonderful woman of God on our show today. Tiffany Lene, if you are just tuning into our show, We are interviewing the founder of The Village. She also spearheads a nonprofit organization called Jade, just a diva encouraging ministries. I love that. This is birthed in order to help women in need. Please, as we interview Tiffany, and if you want to reach out to her and just hear more about her ministry, hear more about her music group, The Village, contact her on social media, Facebook, Instagram. She's all over. So we learned a lot about this young lady prior to going into our break, and we learned about costumes. We learned about masks. We learned about doctrine, and sometimes, you know, pouring too much doctrine without balancing it out with relationship can sometimes have us looking through the false filter as we go in our lives, hopefully. Tiffany, I wanted to talk about, you know, you said prior to the break that you had such low self-esteem, and I wanted to talk about, because there's many of us listening right now that struggle with that. Struggle with our self-worth, struggle with, do I measure up, struggle with, am I pretty enough, struggle with, if I'm good enough. And so how does one, with these difficulties, these challenges, you know, what attracted you to your mate?
So, yeah, I met him. We actually lived in the same apartment building. And I met him riding in the elevator one day, and I was like, oh, he's very charming. And I think what attracted me to him was the charm and the fact that he seemed to be so into me and so attracted to me. So, you know, with somebody dealing with self-esteem, if someone's just expressing how much they feel that you're beautiful and how attractive you are and how attracted they are to you, then it's an easy, you know, that's easy, you know, for him, you know, to kind of reel me in, if you will. So those were the things that really attracted me to him. The fact that he's so into me, yeah.
No, you know, I think that emphasis on he was into me, and you were at a point in your life that, you know, you sort of needed to feel somewhat of the center of things. That's very interesting because, you know, a lot of many of us, it's like, oh, my goodness, like the guy really likes me, or the person that I'm pursuing, they see me, you know, quote unquote. And I tell you, Tiffany, it took a long time for me to say I'm looking for a spouse that loves God more than he loves me. I remember the first time I heard it, I was like, what? No. You know,
yeah.
But you know, I think that your journey, share with us what happened within, you know, of course, pick up from seeing him in the elevator or and then sort of the courtship and how looking back, maybe fold in the yellow flags, the signs that really were showing that he wasn't right for you.
Yeah. And, you know, there were signs right away. You know, we exchanged numbers, and he talked about how he had to move back in with his mom, and, you know, he had a situation with his ex-girlfriend, and so, you know, but that was a flag right then and there, because he really didn't go into the details of what happened. So, you know, yeah, anyone can have an issue with their ex-girlfriend, but as it turned out, you know, it was a domestic incident that had happened, and that's why he had to move back in with his mother. I wouldn't find that out until later on. And so I decided to date him anyway. We had gotten really close over the next 6 months. He bought me this promise ring, was a beautiful ring. He had come to Chicago with me to meet my parents. And then my dad immediately thought we were going to get married, and I wasn't really rushing to get married that soon. But so he met my parents. You know, their assessment of him was that he was bossy and possessive, and they were right. So during the course of our courtship, we ended up moving in together. And, you know, as a PK, coming from a very strict household, that's an absolute no-no. So
right.
That's an absolute no. You're going to go to hell in the handbasket. No. Yeah. So, yeah, we ended up moving in together because he said his mother was going to kick him out. And, you know, I had all this sympathy and, you know, for him. I didn't want to see him homeless. So, yeah, I allowed him to move in with me. And so from there, we ended up moving to Boston. We moved to Boston because I had gone to Howard, but I had not completed my education. So I found out about an opportunity to complete my education at a school in Boston. So we moved there. Literally just dropped everything and moved there. So he was still like, I was like dragging him along with me. We moved to Boston, ended up going to a church in Boston, and joining a church there. But all along he started to be abusive toward me. Just here and there, he would do little things. There was we had an argument. I was cooking dinner one night, and he thought I had coughed on the food, and so that went from an argument to an altercation. He ended up pushing me. That was the first time. And then there was another time we had an argument, and I wanted to break up with him, and he was just resistant, and he, you know, he kept saying he was, you know, he was going to commit suicide. So that was just, like, completely traumatizing for him to say that. He'd even gone as far as to take one of my scarves and to tie it as if he was going to hang himself in front of me. So it was, yeah, it was really traumatic. I was screaming, hollering, you know, begging him to stop. And so in my mind, I'm thinking, well, if I stay with him, then he won't kill himself. But, you know, that's one of the, you know, that's really a classic sign of an abuser, to try to manipulate and to say that he's going to kill himself if I leave him. You know, that's a classic sign of an abuser, that an abuser will use to manipulate someone's emotions, you know, in case my emotions. And, you know, we've heard many stories about how that, a lot of times that it can happen. So, yeah, I, you know, just the grace of God covering me throughout this tumultuous relationship that turned into a marriage. Yeah, so it's hard to call it a courtship because that's just not how a courtship should look. But somewhere along the way, I wanted his companionship. I wanted the companionship of a man. So I settled for this man that was manipulating me and treating me horribly, being abusive toward me, being verbally abusive toward me, just controlling me. I settled for that. And that is the danger of not having dealt with self-esteem issues, because you can find yourself in a relationship that could have, that relationship could have killed me. But for the grace of God, I'm still here.
I'm glad you're here. I know that was, you know, I mean, hard doesn't even seem like the right adjective to describe it. The layers of what you've endured, what you've been able to overcome. Emotional abuse runs deep. Verbal abuse runs deep. Mental abuse runs deep. And you really climb out of a hole to come out.
Each instance, it just breaks you down even further. And for someone who's already depleted of self-esteem, I look up one day and I'm just a shell of myself. I don't even really recognize who I am. Yeah.
And I think, you know, those of you out there listening, when the fall of man happened in Genesis, you realize that when you put distance between you and the Lord, you do become unrecognizable to self.
Mm-hmm.
You become something that even you can't recognize. I want someone out there to hear me when I say, when the prerequisite relationship is that I want him to be into me, you ask no questions because the criteria has already been passed. And what happens is you fail to dissect really the character of many individuals, man or woman. This is not just about men, but this is about women as well. And so we have to really cling to the Lord because he has the blueprint. I really want, you know, I remember someone, you know, it was a pastor that was preaching, and he said, we should allow people into our lives like how the tabernacle allowed people into the Holy of Holies. That you don't just pour your life out when somebody comes to the entrance of the door begging and desperate to love me.
Mm-hmm.
What do they say? God, you know, man's rejection is God's protection. Sometimes it is that simple. But really what we need to do is slowly let them into the holy place. We really take those compartments, the outer court. Then once they, you know, okay, I'll let you into the inner court. But time has passed. You're able to ask all the questions, and you're able to dissect both of you and see what your wants and desires are. But if it's just about, I hope he likes me or I hope she likes me, we're off.
Yeah.
And then we allow them into the holy place.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Holy of Holies. And I think that when we make it a process, it's so much better. And you'll realize that as God gives you that discernment to understand how to diagnose the yellow flags, because really, I always think the yellow flags are exactly what we think they are, especially when we're driving. It doesn't say stop and it doesn't say go. But what yellow says, proceed with caution.
Proceed with caution, yeah.
So we need to remember that. And I hope you're seeing that in Tiffany's testimony here today. Tiffany, what did you learn about who God is and about who you are when you came out of this?
I learned out of all of this that God is a protector.
Mm-hmm.
Throughout every episode, every trial, every argument, every altercation, he kept me. I could have lost my life. But God kept me throughout it all. He kept my mind. He kept me here in the land of the living. I didn't lose my mind. I had the presence of mind. Even though I stayed in a relationship longer than I should have, God, in his infinite grace and his mercy, gave me a mind, gave me the grace to get up and leave. I can move on and live the life that I was destined to live. God is a keeper. He is a protector. He's a sustainer. He sustained me throughout that tumultuous time that I allowed myself to be in an abusive relationship term marriage. And he loved me. God loved me through that. You know, I literally made my bed in hell, but he was still there. He was still there. Every twist and turn, he was still there. So God is omnipresent. He's there. He never left me. He never forsook me. He loved me through it all. And his grace and his mercy and his loving kindness. And I learned that he's a restorer. You know, he has restored me. He's restored my joy. He's restored my peace. He's given me beauty for ashes. Oh, he's given me beauty for ashes. And, you know, I rest on the scripture that says, all things work together for the good of them that love him and are called according to his purpose. So he's used everything that I've gone through to bring
me
to
this. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, I think of the Lord and our life as patchwork. It's handiwork, but it's His handiwork. And He and He takes, like a handyman, He takes a little bit from here and a little bit from there. And, you know, we put things in our toolbox. And, you know, that's what I love. When all is said and done, that all those winding roads are really there to protect us. It's really, you know, sometimes the shifting of God, it's almost like, oh, my goodness, I think I'm going to die. But God's like, I need to shift you. I need to sort of put a brick upside your head like He did with Paul, you know what I mean? And it's sort of like, why do some things just seem so harsh? But God's like, you know what? I need to get you here during this time so that I can get you here during that time. We're coming to the end of our program, and I want to two things. I want to encourage people to actually, it's a challenge. There's a movie that I saw. It's called Old Fashioned. It was created in 2015. The gentleman that directed the movie, he also he was the actor, the lead in the movie. And it's really about relationships. It's and of course, if you hear the word old fashioned, it actually has a lot to do with that. But it raises a lot of questions. The gentleman in the movie, of course, the director, he is a Christian, but he also has some confusions about how to love again after he's been hurt. And he encounters this girl, and just a small snippet, he meets this young lady. He's actually her landlord, and he rents the apartment to her. And she's like, well, aren't you going to come in and show me around? And he says, well, I have vowed to never be in a small space or a private space with a woman that's not my wife. So he stands outside the threshold, and he just points to things, you know, very interesting. And so, you know, this meaning, you know, this crossing the line, this metaphor, this, you know, that really starts to become a part of the plot in this movie is really gorgeous, because it really lets you know, there's a process to love. There's things that need to happen. There's things that need to be thought about. So I want to challenge you to go get it, rent the movie. It's called Old Fashioned. And the next question I have is, Tiffany, with everything that you've endured, how did you pour this concept, your understanding, what God has shown you along the way into starting The Village?
So, you know, the concept of The Village was just a burden that God placed on my heart. You know, with everything that I've gone through, it showed me that it takes having a good circle of people around you to really undergird you as you walk through life. You know, no man is an island unto him or herself. So we all have to be responsible for one another. We all have to be our brother or our sister's keeper. And so with The Village, and with my having gone through the situation that I've gone through, you know, I felt like nobody really understood or was willing to be vulnerable enough to share their story with me. That's what I was looking for, someone to say, hey, I've gone through this too, you can get out of it. So I feel like The Village allows me that door to reach somebody who may be out here struggling with abuse of any kind, hurt, pain, or disappointment, that I can say, hey, I've gone through this too. You know, music just kind of opens the door, but once the door is open, I get to share my testimony with someone who can relate to the levels of pain and turmoil that I've been through. And it allows me to reach them where someone else who's not willing to share their testimony could reach. You know, we all go through things for a reason. It's not to keep it unto ourselves. It's really to help someone else get out of it. Because if God got you through it, He really wants you to help someone else get through it. So God is allowing my testimony of having overcome so many trials and tribulations to be able to go out here and reach the lost. You know, most of them are having some level of pain, some way, shape, or form. And while it may not be my exact testimony, pain is so relatable. I can reach those people who've dealt with levels of pain that seem just unconscionable, and I can touch them with my testimony. I can say, hey, God brought me out of it. He restored me, and the same God that restored me can restore you too.
Oh, I'm so proud of you. I just keep saying it. Tiffany, thank you so much for being on the show today. Everyone out there, if you're listening, again, Tiffany Lene, founder of The Village, and please check her out on social media and Facebook, Instagram. We are so thankful that you tuned in today. We hope you enjoyed this wonderful testimony. And until next time, please keep sharing your dovetail, and God bless you.
Thanks for tuning in. And to listen to this show and other shows, visit the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/PJC Media or download Stitcher on your mobile device so you can tune in to next week for another Dovetails with Deborah.